This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahilladhi khalaqal khalqa liya'buduhu wa habbaba ilayhimul imana liyadhkuruhu wa asbagha alayhim ni'amahu zahiratan wa batinatan liyashkuruhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi الذين صحبوه ونصروه إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. صدق الله العظيم. Friends and elders, mothers and sisters, listeners and viewers, boys and girls, every sane human, Salim al-Taba, as we refer to in Arabic terminology, can easily identify with the concept and the discipline of priority. A simple analogy: your physical body needs attention. Some aspects are medical, other aspects are cosmetic / aesthetics. By way of example, two arteries are blocked, potential renal failure. Doctors have detected a mass. Preliminary reports suggest that it is cancerous. All indications are that it is malignant. At the same time, you are aging. Gerontology, as they speak about, the aging of the body. So the skin needs attention. The skin is sagging. It's gone wrinkled and crinkled. It would be the height of foolishness if this individual starts treatment by visiting a beauty parlor first. I need some facials, I need some microneedling, some dermaplaning. Nobody is denying looking after your skin is important, but not when you are borderline dialysis case, not when you might need a cardiothoracic surgeon to attend to you. Wallah billah tallah, one of the greatest causes of mayhem today in the world is lack of adherence to the discipline of priority, be it political, social, economical, or religious. Of course, our focus is religious as always, because the forum is Islamic. In Islamic terminology, we refer to it as fiqhul awlawiyat. Let me make a statement here. There's a difference between fiqhul aqalliyat, which is a common term, fiqh al-darura or fiqh al-haja, fiqh al-awlawiyyat or fiqh al-tarjihat, understanding that at this moment, what is better for you to do? Is it more important for us to build more masajid or to make our masajid more conducive for the youth who are vulnerable? Is it better for us to put up more seminaries or put up more drug rehabilitation centers when every second home has a young boy or girl who's been plagued by the scourge of debauchery and drugs? From an academic perspective, I sound a word of caution without a claim. It requires a lot of deep understanding. يحتاج المرء لذلك إلى بصيرة نافذة في حق الشرائع ومعرفة تامة بها لأن التشريع وظيفة الشارع وإنما رخص فيها لمن هو سواه ضرورة لدفع الحرج عن العباد وذلك أيضا بتحديد الأصول وضبط القواعد التي يقتدر بها المرء على استنباط الحكم الشرعي من بطون النصوص وأعماقها لِأَنَّ الْأَحْكَامَ الشَّرْعِيَّةَ كُلَّهَا غَيْرُ مَذْكُورَةٍ فِي الْأَصْلَيْنِ. I obviously don't want to elucidate on that because it's going to be too academic. In essence, to appreciate, to comprehend, what is more important? Is my annual umrah more important, or attending to my sibling who needs a medical procedure and is at the mercy of a state facility where the average wait is 18 months? Our focus for today is understanding the seerah and the concept of awlawiyyah. وَكَثِيرًا مَا نَجِدُ الَّذِينَ حُرِمُوا نُورَ الْعِلْمِ وَرُشْدَ الْفِقْهِ وَكَثِيرًا مَا نَجِدُ الَّذِينَ حُرِمُوا نُورَ الْعِلْمِ وَرُشْدَ الْفِقْهِ يُذِيبُونَ الْحُدُودَ بَيْنَ الْأَعْمَالِ أَوْ يَحْكُمُونَ عَلَيْهَا بِغَيْرِ مَا حَكَمَ الشَّرْعُ وهنا يضيع الدين بين الغالي فيه والجافي عنه. Often, due to the lack of erudition and depth in the sciences of the text, people pass judgment on certain aspects of the deen, elevating it above the position that the text and the nusus has given it, or dropping it below the rank that the text has given it, which results in the creation of two extremes. People who become negligent because you tell them nothing is mandatory, or others who become fanatical because you tell them everything is mandatory. وَقَدْ كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ حَرِيصِينَ كُلَّ الْحِرْصِ وَقَدْ كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ حَرِيصِينَ كُلَّ الْحِرْصِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْرِفُوا الْأَوْلَى مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ لِيَتَقَرَّبُوا بِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَلِهَذَا كَثُرَتْ أَسْئِلَتُهُمْ عَنْ أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَعَنْ أَحَبِّ الْأَعْمَالِ. And Sahaba was super passionate about understanding what will please Allah the most at this time. At this moment, I've got money, I want to spend it. What is the best place for me to spend this wealth? I've got time. Do I sit in the service of my parents or do I do something else? وَكَثِيرًا مَا رَأَيْنَا هَؤُلَاء مَعَ إِخْلَاصِهِمْ يَشْتَغِلُونَ بِمَرْجُوحِ الْعَمَلِ وَيَدَعُونَ رَاجِحَهُ. And you will find people, due to their lack of understanding, they mean well, they are genuine and sincere, but they will preoccupy themselves in an action which is not the ideal nor the priority, because they don't bother to concern themselves to understand in this situation what is most pleasing to Allah. The famous hadith in Bukhari, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Jundub bin Junada radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the noblest of actions? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bring iman on Allah and strive in his path. He said, ayyur riqabi afdal, the liberation of which slave is most beloved to Allah? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anfasuha 'inda ahliha wa aktharuha thamanan, the one that is most valuable, most expensive, most exclusive, you spend that is most beloved to Allah. Many of us have enjoyed spending wealth, and may Allah bless and reward, but we haven't yet tasted the pleasure of parting with things that are dear and close to us. The pleasure and the reward of that is different. Sometimes it's not monetary, it's sentimental value, but you just can't part with it. Then he said, O Nabi of Allah, and if I'm unable to do that, now listen and understand the need. That's the focus. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تُعِينُ صَانِعًا أو تصنع لأخرق. Then help a person who is competent or assist a person who is incompetent. الصانع الذي يتقن ما يحاول فعله والأخرق الذي لا يتقن ما يحاول فعله. Who is صانع? One who knows how to do. He's got a skill, he's got an ability, he's competent, he understands it. And then you have an أخرق. Subhanallah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, aid the skilled, the competent, or the incompetent. In Fathul Bari, Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, quotes the quotation of Ibn al-Munir, in which he says, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ إِعَانَةَ الصَّانِعِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ إِعَانَةِ غَيْرِ الصَّانِعِ لِأَنَّ غَيْرَ الصَّانِعِ مَظَنَّةُ الْإِعَانَةِ فَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يُعِينُهُ غَالِبًا بَخِلَافِ الصَّانِعِ فَإِنَّهُ لِشُهْرَتِهِ بِصُنْعَتِهِ يُغْفَلُ عَنْ إِعَانَتِهِ فَهِيَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الصَّدَقَ عَلَى الْمَسْتُورِ لا إله إلا الله. They say the 15 Jalsa, if you started learning Arabic 15 years ago, I wouldn't be translating. They say it's the 15th Jalsa. If you started learning Arabic 15 years ago, my brother, my sister, then we could have been going through so many texts and passages and ibarat and nusus, and I wouldn't have to unpack and elucidate. But nonetheless, Ibn al-Munir says, the chronological order, the sequence, look at the richness of the nusus, the depth. The Prophet ﷺ said, help a competent or an incompetent. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ commends the advice from a competent is suggestive of the fact that it's more rewarding to help a competent person than an incompetent person. Why? If you see a young boy carrying a parcel and an old man carrying a parcel, if you rush to help the old man, which is good, which is great, which is meritorious, which is noble, that's going to attract credit, recognition, and you might even get a post on social media. MashaAllah, this is our youth. This is good character. But if you go and help a young man, he's good, man. Leave him. Why are you helping him? What he's got muscles and bicep for? Now look at the explanation. The غير الصانع, the incompetent, because of his age, he's weak, he's frail, his very demeanor attracts help. Oh, but look at that uncle, go help him quickly, go help him quickly. But when somebody is hale and healthy, it's very easy to overlook him and ignore him. So by helping him, there's dual reward. You aiding a believer, and at the same time, you're getting the reward of doing an action secretly, though it's publicly, because nobody would laud you for it. When someone is stranded on the road, it's an old man or it's a sister, you say, shame, I don't think they'll know where's the jack, where's the spanner, let's go help them. And then you stop, oh, he's got a workshop, man, he can change tires with his eyes closed. فَهِيَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الصَّدَقَ عَلَى الْمَسْتُورِ. It is type of giving charity which is discreet. So what is the aim? Outwardly, apparently, supposedly what you thought, but what was the reality? I recited before you the opening verses of the 80th chapter of the Quran. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى. حافظ السلام عليكم. Opening verses of the 80th chapter of the Quran. أجمع المفسرون على أن الذي تولى هو الرسول وعلى أن الأعمى هو ابن أم مكتوم. The scholars, experts on the exegesis of the Quran, unanimously agree. So here's the verse. عَبَسَ, he frowned. وَتَوَلَّى, and turned his attention away. I love that tarjuma. I love it. He turned his attention away. In keeping with the nas, without distorting the text, but respecting the decorum. That's just amazing. عَبَسَ, he frowned. For the lovers of Arabic, the unanimity of the scholars that Allah is saying the Prophet ﷺ frowned. And he frowned when a blind person came. Unanimously, the frowning was the Prophet ﷺ, and the blind person was Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu. In Bayanul Quran, it is mentioned the adoption of the expression of a third person was ghayatul istihya. So to reduce the intensity of the reproach, I'm going to get there. Sorry if I'm losing you, but I'm settling down. Allah didn't reproach His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying abasta wa tawallaita. Allah said abasa wa tawalla. Abasa wa tawalla. So in the adoption of the expression of a third person, there is takhfif in the itab. It reduces the gravity of the reproach. He frowned. And if Allah said, you frown, then the tone in that would be much more intense, which teaches us an etiquette that sometimes you need to discipline your son, someone who's dear to you, or your spouse, or anyone. Choose and craft your words carefully, where you communicate the discipline, but at the same time, you're sensitive to emotions. Then after the third verse, Allah made a direct address. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. And how do you know? Perhaps Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum will totally purify himself. So here Allah made a direct address to dispel the potential notion of aversion. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reproached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was addressing, we're on the focus of priority. What is more important for you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, he's talking to a prominent disbeliever. And he is, trying to invite him towards the beauty of Islam. And then Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu came, and due to the fact that he was blind, inadvertently he interrupted proceedings. Inadvertently. Because Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu was blind. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frowned. Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi opens up another discussion here. Our focus is priority. I said appreciating the science and the discipline of priority is intricate and delicate. It requires deep level of understanding, comprehension, and knowledge and erudition. إِنَّهُ تَعَالَى لَمَّا عَاتَبَهُ عَلَى مُجَرَّدِ أَنَّهُ عَبَسَ فِي وَجْهِهِ كَانَ تَعْظِيمًا عَظِيمًا مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِبْنِ أُمِّ مَكْتُومٍ وَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَكَيْفَ يَلِيقُ بِمِثْلِ هَذَا التَّعْظِيمِ أَنْ يَذْكُرَهُ بِاسْمِ الْأَعْمَى مَعَ أَنَّ ذِكْرَ الْإِنسَانِ بِهَذَا الْوَصْفِ يَقْتَضِي تَحْقِيرَ شَأْنِهِ جِدًّا. Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah. If only we can understand the depth that is in our nusus and the deep level of how the scholars dive into it. Fakhruddin Razi in his tafsir says, there's a question mark here. it begs an explanation. The fact that Allah reproached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a sheer frown against Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum speaks volumes on the caliber of this companion. Speaks volumes who Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum was, that a slight, sheer, unintentional frown. And if you really look at the words, abasa is like the beginning of a frown, because the Quran speaks of abasa wa basar. So basara goes deeper into the frown. Like lahum fiha zafiru wa shahiq. The Quran uses zafir as the beginning of the brain of a donkey and shahiq as the end, which would be the crying and the screaming and the yelling of the occupants of hell. May Allah save us. So, when Allah modestly reproached the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a sheer frown, that speaks about the caliber and the profile of Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. But then, given his caliber, how is it that Allah referenced him as a blind man? Whereas averagely, commonly, generally, to reference someone by an apparent defect is highly outwardly derogatory. Is everybody following what I'm saying? You can just nod a little bit more. Jazakallah, barakallah. Appreciate that. Thank you. Understand the depth of our nusus, which also teaches us when we speak to people, don't highlight a defect of a person unless there is a deeper wisdom to it. You know, sometimes I just call that by who? That guy was half deaf man. Yeah. Go scream in his ears. People say that. A lot of time people resort to devices, not so that they can amplify, but because of the social stigma. Because of the social embarrassment. In fact, there is another narration. Let me just say this and I come back. We're learning, seerah, how to talk. We're learning how to talk. We're learning how to discipline. We're learning how to interact. In Muslim, Sahih Muslim, there is a narration. Hammam bin Harith, rahimahullah, is the narrator of the hadith. He says, "Anna rajulan ja'ala yamdahu Uthman." One person started praising Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. فَعَمِدَ الْمِقْدَادُ فَجَثَى عَلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَكَانَ رَجُلًا ضَخْمًا. So when this person started praising Uthman radiallahu anhu, Miqdad bin Aswad went down on his knees and he took sand and he started hurling it towards the flatterer, towards the person praising. And then Hammam bin Harith says, and Miqdad bin Aswad was hefty in his physique. So when the scholars elucidate and expound on the commentary, they open up the discussion. What was the wisdom of Hammam bin Harith adding on to say Miqdad bin Aswad was hefty? وَلَعَلَّ الرَّاوِي ذَكَرَ هَذَا لِبَيَانِ أَنَّهُ مَعَ كَوْنِهِ جَسِيمًا تَكَبَّدَ مَشَقَّةَ الْجُثُوِّ اِهْتِمَامًا بِمَا زَعَمَهُ مِنَ الْإِمْتِثَالِ بِأَمْرِ الرَّسُولِ. Perhaps the reason why the narrator added on that Miqdad bin Aswad was hefty to impress that it was quite difficult for him, given his physique, to go on his knees, but notwithstanding his hefty physique, he went on his knees and he then hurled stone. Look at the choice of words. In compliance to what he perceived to be the interpretation of the hadith. Because there's another explanation to it. وَقَدْ جَاءَتْ أَحَادِيثُ كَثِيرَةٌ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ بِالْمَدْحِ فِي الْوَجْهِ. I don't want to go into that. That there are so many narrations that speak about praising someone on the face. My point out of this too is that even if you're addressing an impairment in a person, it must be with a deeper reason and wisdom. And that is what the ulama say, أَنَّ ذِكْرَهُ بِالْأَعْمَى لَيْسَ لِتَحْقِيرِ شَأْنِهِ بَلْ كَأَنَّهُ قِيلْ إِنَّهُ بِسَبَبِ عَمَاهُ إِسْتَحَقَّ مَزِيدَ الرِّفْقِ وَالرَّأْفَ. The reason why Allah referenced Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum as blind was to impress upon the Prophet ﷺ, his blindness was a reason for greater attention and empathy. His blindness was a reason for greater... So you enroll someone and you say, you know what? He's a slow learner. To impress on the teacher, to impress on the teacher that, you know what? Give more attention to this child. Appreciate his milestones have been a bit lagged or gradual or hasn't been in time with his peers. Anyway, the ulama say, and there's another reflection here in Bayan al-Quran. I mean, we're getting to the point, but I'm sure you'll appreciate there's lessons all along. Islam is rich. Islam is rich with values and morals. Our whole deen is about be respectful, be polite, be courteous, be dignified, you know. However, the ayah teaches us, dalla ala nahyi anil i'radi amman yatruku al-adaba min qat' al-kalami wa nahwihi li'udhrin min 'adam al-'ilmi. The ayah teaches us that if someone is not respectful because he doesn't know better, then don't discipline him. Discipline yourself and have a greater threshold of tolerance. He's a revert 2 days ago. He comes from a broken home. He's left the rehab 1 week ago. I know our masjid is a place of etiquette, but the Quran is teaching you when the backdrop and the context of that individual is that he's fresh from a challenge. They, in the books of fiqh, the fuqaha say, وَيُعْذَرُ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ بِدَارِ الْحَرْبِ بِجَهْلِهِ عَنِ الشَّرَائِعِ. And a person who accepts Islam in a location where he doesn't have access to Islamic information, he will be excused for his ignorance on subsidiary matters. وَيُعْذَرُ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ بِجَهْلِهِ وَيُعْذَرُ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ بِدَارِ الْحَرْبِ. I translated Darul Harb as a place where he doesn't have access to Islamic infrastructure or information, which is pretty much the context. So Islam teaches us respect. May Allah give me respect. May Allah give you respect. The people said to Musa alayhi salatu was salam, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَهُ. Oh Musa, we won't bring iman on you till we don't see Allah with the naked eye. فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. You were then gripped by the thunderbolt. So in Bayan al-Quran, under Masail al-Suluk, in this ayah it is written that the Mu'tazilites argued because of this verse that istadalla al-mu'tazilatu biwuqu'i as-sa'iqa ala istihalati ru'yatillahi ta'ala wal jawabu annahum 'uqibu bisu'i adabihim wa la yulzamu minhu al-istihala la fi ad-dunya wa la fi al-akhirah. La ilaha illallah. The Mu'tazilites argued that, you know what, to see the countenance of Allah is impossible because here's a verse in the Quran that said you were struck by thunder and lightning. And the argument or the rebuttal that our scholars give is the reason they were struck was not because it's impossible to see Allah, but because that was, what an audacity for you to say, till I don't see Allah, I won't bring iman. So due to the sheer disrespect, that's blasphemous on you. That's blasphemous on you. However, we learn dalla ala an-nahy 'anil i'rad 'amman yatruku al-adaba min qat' al-kalam wa nahwihi li'udhrin min 'adam al-'ilm. Deen is so deep. Sira is so encompassing. Islam is so profound. The teachings are so impeccable. The akhlaq, it's just all encompassing. There is a mahmal, there's a misdaq, there's a context, there's an explanation. To find the correct tatbiq and the reconciliation is, you know, what requires deep level of study and tadabbur. So Allah alerted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to one slip up. Ijtihadi lagzish. That's the word, and I carefully, cautiously translate. And ijtihad, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam processed his blessed understanding. So it was clear and apparent. This is a very key point. We come into the aspect of priority. It was a preamble to appreciate this year. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew, and we all know and understand, and of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood it way better than us. There's no comparison between our understanding and Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is impeccable in how Allah has, you know, blessed him with that knowledge and wisdom. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that priority is muqaddam. Whatever is pressing takes precedence. And in the context of a medical condition, someone who's more sick needs greater attention. So these disbelievers who the Prophet of Allah was engaging needed more attention. Versus Abdullah bin Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, whose condition was light, was average, was not so intense. However, this is the alert that Allah sounded to the Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you give priority to someone who is more sick, provided he doesn't deny his sickness and he seeks treatment. Provided, so you sitting in a catch 22, your son who's on drugs needs more attention. But he's, according to him, I'm not on drugs. You people are all drugged. You people got a problem with me. I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. You always implicate me, excuse me, marginalize me, ostracize me. And then there's another son of yours who's needing help, financial assistance. But he's acknowledging, he's conceding. Though we all agree that the former needs more attention, but he's in denial. Priority means focus on the one who is willing, who admits, and who's seeking treatment. We've repeatedly read and heard the amazing incident of Hanzala radiallahu anhu. Ushtuhira bikutubi sira bighasilil malaika. Who's recorded, captured, documented in the books of Sira as the one who was given ghusl by the malaika. Na jaane kaun si shohrat pe insaan ko naaz hai iqbal. Na jaane kaun si shohrat pe insaan ko naaz hai iqbal. Insaan to apne aakhri ghusl ka bhi muhtaaj hai. Na jaane kaun si shohrat pe insaan ko naaz hai iqbal. I really don't know what the average human is boasting and bragging about. He lacks the ability to give himself the final ghusl as he leaves this world. Be libas ayate is dunya mein ghalib. Be libas ayate is dunya mein ghalib. Ek kafan ke liye itna safar kar gaye. Be libas ayate is dunya mein ghalib. You came nude in the world. You leave in with two pieces of cloth. So much travel, arguments, vulgar accusations for two pieces of cloth. وَغَسَّلُونِ ثَلَاثًا وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا وَغَسَّلُونِ ثَلَاثًا وَأَلْبَسُونِ ثِيَابًا لَا كِمَامَ لَهَا صلوا صلاة لا ركوع لها ولا سجود لعل الله يرحمني ولي بقايا ذنوب لست أعلمها الله يعلمها في السر والعلن ما أحلم الله عني حيث أمهلني وقد تماديت في ذنبي ويسترني تمر ساعات أيامي بلا ندم ولا بكاء ولا حزن أنا الذي أغلق الأبواب مجتهدا على المعاصي وعين الله تنظرني يا زلة كتبت في غفلة ذهبت يا حسرة بقيت في القلب تحرقني دعني أنوح على نفسي وأندبها وأقطع الدهر بالتفكير والحزن ولقد أتوا بالطبيب كي يعالجني ولم أرى اليوم الطب ينفعني سيخرج الروح مني في تغرغرها وصار ريقي مراً حين غرغرها واشتد نزعي وصار الموت يجذب من كل عرق بلا رفق ولا هوني وسل روحي وضل الجسم منطرحاً بين الأهالي وغسلوني ثلاثاً وألبسوني ثياباً لا كمام لها وصلوا صلاةً لا ركوع لها ولا سجود لعل الله يرحمني. Maybe one day when my janaza leaves, somebody can play this couplet. He's talking about how I will leave and how you will leave and how our life is just going away and we're just wasting and it's just melting away and I lock the door and I shut the door and I deliberately do my wrong and Allah's eye is watching me. Allah is watching over me. Allah innahum yathnuna sudurahum liyastakhfu min ألا حين يستغشون ثيابهم يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون. Anyway, I said غسيل الملائكة and then my mind just started racing here. What an honor that Hanbala bin Abi Amir was given غسل. یہ کفن یہ قبر یہ جنازے رسم شریعت ہے اقبال مر تو انسان تب جاتا ہے جب اسے کوئی یاد کرنے والا نہ ہو. یہ کفن یہ قبر یہ جنازے رسم شریعت ہے اقبال. Burial, کفن, lower. Well, that's the formality of our place, our appearance, and we live in. But the truth is, he dies who's not remembered and cherished. But when you leave behind a legacy, some leave marks, others leave scars. Leave a mark, my brother, don't leave a scar. Some leave marks, others leave scars. Leave a mark. When the body goes by, oh, you know, I have a good memory of your late father. Oh, I have a good memory of your late brother. I cannot, for the sake of my life, forget how one day he did. Because that's the only thing that features up. That's the only thing that comes up. So, ghasilul malaika, we're talking about priority. Yeah, he gets married to Jamila bint Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Hanbala radiyallahu anhu gets married to Jamila. وَكَانَ زِوَاجُهُ مِنْهَا فِي اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي صَبِيحَتُهَا يَوْمَ أُحُدٍ. It's the third year of Hijrah. It's the month of Shawwal. It's the night preceding Uhud. And that's the night Hanbala radiyallahu anhu gets married to Jamila bint Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. فاستأذن رسول الله بالمبيت عندها. Can your mind start picturing this emotion? Tomorrow is Uhud. وإذ غدوت من أهلك تبوئ المؤمنين مقاعد للقتال. I cannot even read it. I cannot even translate it. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that morning when you left your family, and more specifically the scholars say the hujra, the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha, tubawwi'u al-mu'minin, earmarking where the battalions, where the qalb and the janah and the batn, where the army will be positioned. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِذْ هَمَّ الطَّائِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ
أن تفشلا والله وليهما وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون.
Look at the deduction. I have a reflection now from Bayan al-Quran. Ah, may Allah have mercy on the soul of Hakim al-Ummah, rahimahullah. وَأَسْكَنَهُ فَسِيحَ جَنَّاتِهِ آمين يا رب العالمين.
So just at that time, because Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, he was a munafiq, he backed out. So two of the genuine, honest, devout companions, two tribes, Banu Haritha and Banu Salma, tafshala, they lost courage. A sahabi is never coward. Coward is me. A sahabi is never coward. They lost courage. They lost courage. So they became apprehensive. Wallahu waliyuhuma, but Allah is the guardian. Allah is the protector. Al-ayatu sarihatun fi adam al-tanafi bayna hadith al-nafs bil-ma'asiyah wa bayna al-wilayah. Al-ayatu sariha fi adam al-tanafi bayna hadith al-nafs bil-ma'asiyah wa bayna al-wilayah. The ayah is categoric and explicit in the refutation that there is no dichotomy, inconsistency, or discrepancy, or disparity between the sheer whisper of sin and being the friend of Allah. Of course, we make a qualifying statement. We're not talking of azm musammam. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking of an advanced level of resolve. You're going to do just a thought, just a whisper. A whisper crossed your mind. The whisper crossed their heart. So Hanzala radiallahu anhu said, oh Nabi, Allah, can I spend the night with Jamila? Nabi Sassam said, yes. Oh, tomorrow is Uhud. Tonight nikah is taking place. Life is continuing. We were in Uhud recently. You know, we talk about everything. I'm there in Uhud with the entire group and I'm giving the whole, you know, explanation. That's Jabal Rumat. That's Mount Uhud. And they said, Mafman, can we just move in the shade? It's too hot here. I kid you not, we're in Uhud. So, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّ Abdullah bin Jubair, Jabal Rumat. And I'm telling the whole group, of course it was scorching. It was 45, it was 9 a.m. It was 3 months back. But Mafman, can we just move that side? It's very hot. La ilaha illallah. إن الله اختار لنبيه أصحابا. As Allah selected Nabi alayhi salam, Allah selected companions for Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. We cannot begin to imagine the strength, the commitment, the resilience. So Handala radiyallahu anhu takes permission and he spends the night. فلما صلى الصبح, like I don't know, my mind like visualizes this year, and my mind races. Nikah took place. Tomorrow is Uhud. Nabi of Allah, can I just go home quickly? Yeah, okay, you go. Okay, no problem. He prayed Fajr. He told his wife, I need to leave. She says, no, wait. Just stay. لكن جميلة لزمته. Oh, my word. Am I okay with time? Are we relaxed? Are we all good? There they told me it's hot. Now here you tell me time is up. لكن جميلة لزمته. Jamila said, no, you can't go. So he stayed. وَأَجْنَبْ And then he consummated. Intimacy took place. Hanzala knew ghusl is wajib. Hanzala knew ghusl is faraz. He barely consummated and it coincided with the elan of An-Nafir for Uhud. The army is mobilizing. He left his spouse and he went. فَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ سِوَى لَيْلَةٍ عِنْدَ زَوْجَتِهِ He barely spent one night and off he went into Uhud. This is understanding priority. He was martyred. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm seeing water dripping here. سَلُوا صَاحِبَتَهُ Just ask at home. I can see your malaika giving him ghusl. So she said, yes. We were together, we were intimate, we barely completed our time together. He heard the announcement, he leaped forward. I could barely greet him, embrace him, or bid farewell. And off he went, and hopefully we meet in Jannah. Rakdan ila Allahi bi ghayri zadin. Rakdan, rakada yarkudu, urkud,
فَإِذَا هُمْ يَرْكُذُونَ لَا تَرْكُذُوا رَكْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ.
These people loved life, man. They loved life, man. They loved life. That is why when the Aus and the Khazraj had a debate amongst themselves, they were rivals before Islam. And then after Islam, they would speak about their spiritual feat and accolades. So the Aus said, مِنَّا غَسِيلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ حَنْزَلَةِ مِنَّا مَنْ اِهْتَزَّ لَهُ الْعَرْجِ سَعْدُ بْنُ مُعَاذِ مِنَّا مَنْ أُجِيزَتْ شَهَادَتُهُ بِشَهَادَةِ رَجُلَيْنِ خُزَيْمَةُ بْنُ ثَابِتٍ مِنَّا مَنْ حَمَتْهُ الدَّبْرُ عَاصِمُ بْنُ ثَابِتٍ وَقَالَتِ الْخَزْرَجُ مِنَّا أَرْبَعَةٌ جَمَعُوا الْقُرْآنَ أَبُو زَيْدٍ زَيْدُ بْنُ ثَابِتٍ مُعَاذُ بْنُ جَبَلٍ أُبَيُّ بْنُ كَعْبٍ. They were sitting and talking. We got this one, we got that. Who you got? Hey, we got Hanzala on our side. Oh no, we don't have a Hanzala. We got a Hanzala who the angels gave ghusl to. Did Hanzala not? Wallah, my brothers, the fuqaha say, يَجِبُ قَطْعُ الصَّلَاةِ بِاسْتِغَاثَةِ مَلْهُوفٍ لَا بِنِدَاءِ أَحَدِ أَبَوَيْهِ. If a person who is a victim of tyranny and oppression screams out for help, so the jurists make a distinction between istighatha and nida. Nida is my mother is Saint Sulaiman, my papa is Saint Sulaiman. I can hear the tone is he's looking for me, but it's not frantic. And one is Sulaiman. That plea is loud, that's a cry. When someone is screaming out for help because he's a victim of tyranny, it becomes mandatory to break your salah. By Allah in whose control is my life, the screams from Gaza was istighatha and not nida. It's not a nida, it's not a call, it's a plea, it's a scream, it's a yell. Mufti Taqi Sahab in London in his talk said, when this is the crisis in Gaza, should it be the time that we be debating our differences on subsidiary matters? The hadith is in Bukhari. لم يتكلم في المهدي إلا ثلاثة. Three people spoke in the cradle. Hafiz ibn Hajar said, of course, there are other people as well. And then he's given the tatbiq and the reconciliation between this narration and the other narration, though this hadith speaks about three. But there are others, I'm just giving the basic context to it. So, amongst them is Sahibu Juraij. You know the incident? Our focus is understanding priority. Sahibu Juraij was a person in Bani Israel who was a very pious person and used to make ibadat. So he was making ibadat in his monastery. And one day his mother came looking for him. So his mother said, Juraij, Juraij. And he was in salah. You know, my pain is not the person who's away from deen is not understanding priority. People who are in deen are not understanding what's the priority. A man who's not performing Juma, you can't tell him how important his mother is. He hasn't understood Juma. But you are a person connected to deen. You're not understanding that there is grading and according to the fiqh and according to the ruling for you, this is more important at this time. So Juraij is in salah. His mother says, Juraij. He says, اجتمع علي إجابة أمي وإتمام صلاتي. Hafiz ibn Hajar has argued, does it mean that he verbally expressed this or faqala fi nafsi? There's ihtimal of both the opinions because there is a view that it was permissible to speak in their prayer. And of course, in the early years as well, it was permissible until the verse was revealed. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. That became the nasikh to communication. The companion said, I came for salah and I had sneezed and I was unaware of the abrogation of the permissibility of speaking in prayer. So I said, Alhamdulillah. So everybody started looking at me. So I said, hey, why are you people looking at me? Who come yalla man say cake for me swa? Tamo ko bada mane jota te gaya? ما شأنكم تنظرون إليّ.
You read the narration. So I didn't know. So I came, I sneezed, I said, Alhamdulillah. So I didn't know that it was abrogated. After Salah was over, Nabi Sassam called me. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا كَهَرَنِي وَلَا ضَرَبَنِي وَلَا شَتَمَنِي فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. He called me, he didn't rebuke me, he didn't expose me, he didn't disgrace me, he didn't humiliate me, he didn't tell me, don't you know it's abrogated? Where were you when the ayat was revealed? What you were doing? He said, now no longer it's permissible to talk in salah. By Allah, neither before nor after will I ever see or will my eyes ever witness a teacher, a tutor greater than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. You know, there's an incident there in Mu'atta of one companion, radiallahu anhu. He joined the salah. He came into the masjid, and then the imam was in ruku. So in the passion to secure the ruku, he started his prayer at the door. And then he inched forward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kind of heard the shuffle and the movement of someone at the back. So after salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what happened? He said, no, I didn't want to miss the rak'at, so I came to the door and like I started my prayer and then I walked in salah. Now sometimes we would give a reply, could be sarcastic, could be next time you must start at home, man. I just watch the traffic, don't come peak hour. Yeah, why didn't you start at home? That's how I would say. Wallahi billahi tallahi. If you and I sit and think and apply our minds till the cows come home, till we die, in two words, we can never come up to say what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said instantly. Zadakallahu hirsan wala ta'ud. Zadakallahu hirsan wala ta'ud. May Allah increase you many folds in your zeal and your enthusiasm and your passion. But please don't repeat that action. La ilaha illallah. So Juraij was in salah. His mother said, Juraij, Juraij. He didn't reply. So his mother went away. The next day his mother came, فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدْ أَتَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother came, Juraij, Juraij. Again he didn't reply. She was still fortunate that every time she was looking for her son, he was in salah. May Allah make that a reality. Oh, imagine that. Imagine every time you're looking for your son, oh my khuda, there is nothing soothing. You know, your son stays across you, and in the morning you hear his car going for Fajr before you. Wallah, your Fajr is done. You still got to go masjid, I don't mean that. But, no, you think I... No, but wallahi, you just hear your son leaving for Fajr before... Oh, man. Allah alone knows. لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. There's a lot of sights that can soothe you, but there's nothing more soothing. You knock on the door at night, you got up a call of nature, you see the light on, you knock on the door, and you see your daughter in sajda on the prayer mat. Bachpan mein lagta tha, bachpan mein lagta tha, ke namaz na parne par saza milti hai. Ab pata chala ke namaz ki taufeeq na milna hi saza hai. بچپن میں لگتا تھا کہ نماز نہ پڑھنے پر سزا ملتی ہے اب پتا چلا کہ نماز کی توفیق نہ ملنا ہی سزا ہے. As a child I thought if I don't pray there will be consequences, there will be a penalty. Now I realize deprivation to prostration is the greatest punishment. It's not you, not you've been denied. What Allah said regarding the munafiq, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ إِنْبِعَاثَهُمْ. Oh man, وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ إِنْبِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ
فكسلهم فضعفهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين. It's not you didn't come in Tabuk. Allah said, I didn't want your presence there. I didn't want your presence. ولكن ولكن كره الله انبعاثهم. You know that thing, how strong it is. فثبطهم. So in Arabic you have ثبت and ثبط. ثبط actually means like outwardly you think the ta means firm. No, it means the other way. ثبط is كسل and ثبت is to keep you firm.
ولكن كره الله انبعاثهم فثبطهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين لو خرجوا فيكم ما زادوكم إلا خبالا.
Some people, their presence only adds to division. When they come, there is only gossip. When they come, there's only division. When they don't come, you actually sigh with relief.
لو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة.
Oh my God. Oh my Allah. I've been harping on this. Everybody swims in a different ocean. A believer is one who swims in Quran. Everybody is swimming in something. The poet is swimming in poetry.
والشعراء يتبعهم الغاوون ألم تر أنهم في كل واد من أودية الشعر يهيمون.
The guy who's got his earphones on.
I don't know, my brother. Suspect his old life.
A believer is in Quran. A believer is in Quran.
إن لك في النهار أن تسبح في بحر الإنسان سبحا طويلا.
Why aren't we going? لو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة. فيه أن التعتل والبطالة دليل على عدم الإرادة. That means if you don't take action, you're not genuine in your claim, regardless of how loud you scream. If you don't take action, you're not genuine, regardless of how loud you scream. So the third day, the mother came, and she said, Juraij, and he was in Salah again. The mother also, in a fit of anger,
سب لوگ حج کو چلے گئے ہم غریب تھے ہم نے ماں کو پیار سے دیکھ لیا
سب لوگ حج کو چلے گئے ہم غریب تھے ہم نے ماں کو پیار سے دیکھ لیا. Please counter my viewpoint on the love for parents with nusus and I'll back off on my stance. I've been harping on this. Understand the maqam of parents and this is my little understanding. I got no claims. This is a serious maqam in deen. So the mother, in a fit of rage, said, Allahumma inna hadha Juraij. Allah, this is my Juraij. He's my son. 3 days in a row, I called him, and he's not answering me.
Wa inni kallamtuhu fa aba an yukallimani. اللهم فلا تمته حتى تريه وجوه المومسات ولو دعت عليه أن يفتن لفتن ولكن كانت رحيمة رفيقة به فكانت دعوتها أن تكون عقوبته رؤية وجوه الزواني فقط وما أشدها من عقوبة على قلوب العابدين الصالحين.
Allah, this is my Juraij. I called him day one, he didn't reply. Allah, I called him day two, he didn't reply. Allah, I'm a mother, my voice is cracking. How many of the youngsters that I have admitted into the rehab and I speak to them? There was a young boy who was being admitted. His mother was sobbing blood. She said, "My son, may Allah jerk you, but don't hurt you." I said, "You can't make up a dua like this. This is a mother's motherhood that's talking. Allah jerk him, but don't hurt him. Because your eyes don't want to open. Not one day passes by without my Maulana Abdullah phoning me. Not one day. I mean, Allah's 365 days, 365 cases minimum of drugs a year. I get an update on, or I'm asked to counsel or to admit. What's priority for us? To build another seminary? To build another Montessori? I'm not saying it's not important. We're talking about priority. Those that are in the rehab are burnt out. You go to Madrasa Noor, I spoke there. They say for every visually challenged person, it equals like dealing with five people. So if you've got five sighted people, it equals one blind person. Because the time, the energy, the resources, the strength, the stamina you need. What was the curse of the mother? Allah doesn't mind your age. Allah, I called him first day. Allah, I called him second day. I called him. Allah, don't let him die till he doesn't see the faces of immoral and obscene women. It's mentioned there, she was kind, so she paused on her curse. Otherwise, she could say, don't let him die till he doesn't indulge in immorality. But the truth be told, for a person who fears Allah, how less a crime or how less an affliction is it to see someone immoral? Maryam radiallahu anha, the Quran quotes her reaction. She was pure, she was chaste. Jibreel alayhi salam is the purest of the pure of the malaika. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. The narration suggests she had just performed her ghusl on the eastern side of her house. And she barely exited, of course covering herself, and she sees the image of a complete human. In a human form, Jibreel came. She immediately went into panic. You look like a very pious person. Please, please, Allah's protection. Jibreel then gave her the assurance, innama ana rasulu rabbik. But her natural reaction of finding someone, man, in a strange place. If somebody calls you wrong number and it's someone pleasant, you might welcome the mistake. I mean you as in Allah forgive us all.
Oh.
The narration says, لَوْ كَانَ جُرَيْجٌ فَقِيهًا لَعَلِمَ أَنَّ إِجَابَةَ أُمِّهِ أَوْلَى مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. The problem was Juraij worshipped Allah. He didn't have knowledge. There's one rawi that's majhul there, but the narration is academically correct and sound. If Juraij was learned, he would have well understood it was way more important for him to break that salah and listen to his mother. We in the market to please Allah, I assume. We are here not to do what we assume is right. We are here to please Allah. It's about understanding in what Allah's pleasure lies. Often we find when a person changes, the ulama have written this here, he reforms his life. He goes into full gear of nafal. And as far as faraz is, he's super sluggish. Alamatu ittiba' al-hawa al-musara'atu ila nawafil al-khayrat wa at-takasulu 'anil qiyam bihuquq al-wajibat wa hadha halu ghalib al-khalqi illa man 'asamahu Allah tara al-wahida minhum yaqumu bil-awrad al-kathira wan-nawafil al-'adidati al-thaqila wa la yaqumu bifardin wahidin 'ala wajhihi. The ulama say the proof that you're not worshipping Allah and you worship in your nafs is when you give more importance to nafl over faraz. Now you're not worshipping Allah, you're worshipping. That's not my words, yeah, it's mentioned in Ruhul Bayan.
علامة اتباع الهوى المسارعة إلى نوافل الخيرات والتكاسل عن القيام بحقوق الواجبات. I'm saying Ramadan is coming, my brother. Perform your farz of Isha and your Taraweeh in a masjid where they read Quran. Sorry. Perform your Taraweeh in a masjid where Quran is recited. Quran. Keep your energy and your strength and focus your ability, because that is what Allah has ordained on you. If you did not perform your nafal and your tahajjud and your nocturnal in the context of tahajjud, the omission of tahajjud, I'm not advocating, but if it's resulting in compromising your ability and your stamina for your taraweeh salah, then you should understand better where the priority is. One of the great scholars said, "In qata'a al-khalqu 'ani Allah ta'ala bi khaslatayn." Two things made the creation lose their relationship with Allah. Number one, annahum talabu an-nawafil wa dayya'u al-fara'id. People are just super interested in nafal, optional, charity. Again, we're not saying it's not important, but not when 10 years zakat wasn't given properly. Not when 10 years salah was not performed correctly. طَلَبُوا النَّوَافِلُ وَضَيَّعُوا الْفَرَائِضِ. I've mentioned this often, and the brother has given me permission. It's from one of the neighboring countries, to be more specific, an island. His parents got divorced as a child, and the one parent unfortunately had poisoned the mum in his case, his mind against his father. And this is happening too often. And again, let's focus on that. Work, again, in context of priority, to mend your relationship. This is an active act of ibadat. Now, again, I have a thought. In Surah As-Sad, Allah describes the Anbiya as, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ. And mention to them Ishaq and Ibrahim. They were people with might and vision. Inna akhlasnahum. Listen to this. Just look at the depth of the nusus. Inna akhlasnahum bi khalisatin dhikra dar. We made their hearts exclusive to akhirat. Ibrahim, maaf, I know you're going to go now. I'm sorry, Ibi. Inna akhlasnahum bi khalisatin dhikra dar. We made their hearts exclusive to Akhirah. So, in Tafsir al-Madhari, the question has been posed there, how do we reconcile the intense love of Yaqub alayhi salam to Yusuf, when that's a fatherly love to a son and a worldly attachment, when the Quran describes the galaxy of Anbiya with the common denominator being that their hearts are gripped and completely consumed by the remembrance of the latter abode, khalisatin dhikra dar. And then there's a whole academic on why dar and not akhirah, and you know, that's all beauty. So they say that there are two things. Some things are worldly, and some things are worldly, but they are connected to akhirah. So they also fall in the scope of akhirah. So your spouse getting married, all this is in this world. But loving your wife and being close to her brings the mercy of Allah, keeps you away from haram. So hence you would find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose heart was fully occupied with akhirah, how actively he took time to connect and bond with his spouse and his consort. Which means that loving is not alien to akhirah. It's part of akhirah. Again, I don't know. So there's this amazing... So Musa alayhi salam comes, right? He's sailing in the basket. And then Pharaoh's wife, Asiya, radiyallahu anha, this great woman, amazing woman, she sees, so she says, لا تقتلوا, don't kill him. The adoption of the expression of plural for her husband is a message, and this is general in the Quran, that a woman ought to refer to her husband with a respectful term. Today I gave a nikah talk, and I said this here, because lately I've been inundated with men phoning me and saying, you know, sometimes I think I'm only in charge of this house when it comes to paying bills. I have no authority, no position, no respect, no dignity, no consultation. And this is sad, and that's painful. That's painful. So I often say it's very important for a woman to impress on her children to love their father, respect their father. So women are like, but I never told you disrespect your father. I said, no, you're losing the point. I said, are you teaching your child to respect his father? Are you teaching him respect? Al-jam'u lit-tafkhim. Now we move on to the other side. Balance the score. The Quran gives you both perspectives. I mean, look at this verse of the Quran. Oh, you know, all praise belongs to Allah. In Surah An-Naml, the last verse, 93, Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ سَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ فَتَعْرِفُونَهَا. Alhamdulillah. Ay, alhamdulillahi alladhi afadha alayyam. This is in Ruh al-Ma'ani. Alhamdulillahi alladhi afadha alayyam min na'maihi. التي من أجلها نعمة النبوة ووفقني لتحمل أعبائها وتبليغ أحكامها. Oh man. Oh Allah. I don't know. Today when you look at the students studying, I don't know. I got nothing right. I got nothing right. But I don't know. It's like these are irresistible things. All praise belongs to Allah who has favored me. The greatest of his favors is Nabuwa. Then he's inspired me to transmit it. And in Bayanul Quran under Masail al-Suluk, it's written, Dalla ala wujubi nisbatil fuyudhi ilayhi ta'ala, la ila mujahadatihi wa amalihi. The ayah impresses upon you any thought, any idea which you get in is in teaching with the Quran and Sunnah is from Allah, is nothing of your own. What can I do here? My family will tell you I'm the last person to be sitting here. So look at this reflection. Yesterday, Maulana Sulaiman mentioned that the talk will, Jalsa will end when Sulaiman Mullah decides to end. That wasn't a very pleasant comment, but also I appreciate the time given to me. But my wife told me, please don't mention my name in any way, but just credit in context. When he phoned me this year for the Jalsa, she said, just don't delay them and stretch them, just say yes. And that's exactly what I did this year. I didn't buy time, and I said yes. But I want to agree with Maulana Ibrahim Baum, and may Allah bless Nurul Islam. It's subhanAllah, what a masjid. It's been thriving, it's been vibrant, it's really been hosting programs, it's been amazing to take off an event like this. Wow. A spectacle like this, coordination, logistics, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. I visited Akhil Kuwa multiple times, and I had the honor and the privilege of being a guest there to address the thousands of students at that seminary, and the founder and the mover behind it, Maulana Ghulam Saab. He one day mentioned something very profound. He said, you know, I have thousands of students that come and enroll here, and it just continues and continues. But one day when I enrolled my old child in a madrasa, then I appreciated what it took for parents to enroll in my madrasa. You know, so sometimes, like, I'm a person traveling half my life, so all the time it's dawat. So dawat is casual, but when you give, dawat is not casual. When you're the host at home, then you're like, that means they also worry about serviettes everywhere we go. They also worry about a variety of drinks, because you, every day of your life is a dawat, so it's casual, but when you're the host, it takes a lot out of you. So I have been respectfully asking him maybe for some rotation and alternation of speakers by intending my omission, nothing else to any of the other honorable ones. But may Allah bless you all. Okay,
La ilaha illallah. So I was telling you, yeah. So here Musa alayhi salam comes, right, in the basket. I was saying again, what's priority? Work on your marriage. Work on it. I need to work, you need to work. I'm not speaking from a position that I've done it. But that's priority. Inna akhlasnahum bi khalisatin dhikr ad-dar. In Tafsir al-Madhari, the call of Mujaddid al-Fathani is given in the support of this argument. That it's part of deen. Let's see how we can mend. That's priority. Imam Ghazali says, look at your heart. If your heart got jealousy for your members of your fraternity, then it's better for you to go for the purification of your heart than to continue further studies of fiqh. فَإِشْتِغَالُكَ بِطَلَبِ الْمَخْلَصِ عَنِ الْهَلَاكِ أَهَمُّ مِنْ إِشْتِغَالِكَ بِنَوَادِرِ الْفُرُوعِ وَعِلْمِ الْخُسُومَاتِ. If you senior, no, man, I'm jealous, I'm envious, I'm trying to bring him down, I'm attacking him, I'm doing, no. Imam Ghazali said, then in the line of priority, it's better for you to clean your heart. So when Musa alayhi salam came and the basket passed, then she said, لا تقتلوا, as a woman, respect. Now what did she say? قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكْ is the comfort of my eyes and your eyes. In Bayan al-Quran, this is mentioned. I'm like, Ya Rab, وَلِتَفْخِيمِ شَأْنِ الْقُرَّةِ عَدَلَتْ عَنْ لَنَا إِلَى لِي وَلَكْ وَكَأَنَّهَا لِمَا تَعْلَمْ مِنْ مَزِيدِ حُبِّ فِرْعَوْنِ إِيَّاهَا وَأَنَّ مَصْلِحَتَهَا أَهَمُّ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ مَصْلِحَةِ نَفْسِهِ قدمت نفسها عليه فيكون ذلك أرغب في ترغيبه بترك قتله. So the Quran's general phrase is ijaz. Ijaz means comprehensive. She ought to have said, don't kill him. He brings comfort to our eyes. She said, he brings comfort to my eyes and to your eyes. So don't kill him. So why to my eyes and to your eyes? عَدَلَتْ عَنْ لَنَا إِلَى لِي وَلَكْ وَلِتَفْخِيمِ شَأْنِ الْقُرَّةِ. To show the beauty, the magnanimity, the excellence of how it is. Like, wow, what a spectacle. So she broke up the whole thing. Then outwardly one would have said, it would have been correct to say, he's a comfort to your eyes, so don't kill him. But she said, he comforts my eyes, don't kill him. Because she knew in the eyes of her husband, her desire meant more than his desire. وَكَأَنَّهَا لِمَا تَعْلَمْ مِنْ مَزِيدِ حُبِّ فِرْعَوْنِ إِيَّاهَا وَأَنَّ مَصْلِحَتَهَا أَهَمُّ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ مَصْلِحَةِ نَفْسِهِ قَدَّمَتْ نَفْسَهَا عَلَيْهِ فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ أَرْغَبْ فِي تَرْغِيبِهِ بِتَرْكِ قَتْلِهِ. I want to mention one, two things and I want to round it up. Another area, okay, so there's this here, وَمِنْ حُسْنِ الْفِقْهِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَن نُدْرِكَ مَقْصُودَ الشَّرْعِ فِي التَّكْلِيفِ حَتَّى نَعْمَلَ عَلَى تَحْقِيقِهِ وَحَتَّى لَا نُشَدِّدَ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ فِيمَا لَا يَتَّصِلُ بِمَقَاصِدِ الشَّرْعِ وَأَهْدَافِهِ. Sorry, just bear with me. وَمِنْ حُسْنِ الْفِقْهِ وَمِنْ حُسْنِ الْفِقْهِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَن نُدْرِكَ مَقْصُودَ الشَّرْعِ مِنَ التَّكْلِيفِ حَتَّى نَعْمَلَ عَلَى تَحْقِيقِهِ وَحَتَّى لَا نُشَدِّدَ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ فِي مَا لَا يَتَّصِلُ بِمَقَاصِدِ الشَّرْعِ وَأَهْدَافِهِ. So one of the understandings of fiqh is that you appreciate just not the ruling, but what is the deeper objective of the Sharia? So you don't unduly impose on yourself or on others that which is not connected to the Sharia. You got it wrong and you're imposing to make it difficult. Understand the objective. So the hadith is in Bukhari. Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu got his sister married to a companion. أخرج البخاري وأبو داود والنسائي أن معقل بن يسار زوج أخته برجل من المسلمين ثم طلقها تطليقة ولم يراجعها حتى انقضت العدة فهويها وهويته. So he gave the talaq, they got married, after a little while they gave talaq and then he didn't revoke,
and then it lapsed. And then after that, they both wanted to get married. So Makil bin Yasar said, no, I gave you my sister, you got married, you didn't. Now you're not going to get married. You're not going to get married. Again, if I can appeal to parents, children have done the wrong thing. He took the car without permission and he met up in an accident. Do you get to the accident scene and say, good? Or do you say he made a mistake and we roll our sleeves and we help the situation to salvage it? They did the wrong thing. They started a relationship. It's the wrong thing. Let's see. I'm not giving on every situation, but let's rise up. Let's be matured. Let not egos come into the equation and then we make it more nasty, more difficult, more unpleasant. Just because we're dealing with it daily. So Allah revealed the verse. وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ أَن يَنْكِحْنَ أَزْوَاجَهُنَّ إِذَا تَرَاضَوْا بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ ذَلِكَ يُوعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكُمْ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah said, when you divorce and then it's over and they want to get back together, then don't stop them. Don't stop them from getting married. The verse was revealed, it said, سَمْعًا وَطَاعَةً لِرَبِّي. Allah, I'm happy. You can take my sister and get married. Now, understanding the object. In Bayan al-Quran, Hakim al-Umma writes, فِيهِ أَنَّ الْمَبَاحَ لَا يَنْبَغِي التَّشَدُّدُ فِي الْمَنْعِ عَنْهُ إِذَا لَمْ يُفْضِ إِلَى مَفْسَدَ لَا سِيَّمَا إِذَا أَفْضَ الْإِمْتِنَاعُ عَنْهُ إِلَى مَفْسَدَ. Oh my Allah. We learn from this ayah, when something is principally permissible, don't be too harsh in prohibiting it. When something principally, I know you have saddan lil bab, you want to stop it going further, but principally this is permissible, don't be too harsh. All the more when stopping him from this is going to result in him falling on another wrong. One last reflection and then I, inshallah, conclude. The ulama have mentioned, and I know this might be a bit of a contentious issue, but I share the reflection because that's the focus, fiqh tarjihat. We're trying to understand what's important. So, اشتغال كثير من الناس بمحاربات المكروهات أو الشبهات أكثر مما اشتغلوا بحرب المحرمات وكذا الاشتغال بما اختلف في حله وحرمته عما هو مقطوع بتحريمه وهناك أناس مولعون بهذه الخلافيات اشتغال كثير من الناس بمحاربات المكروهات أو الشبهات أكثر مما اشتغلوا بحرب المحرمات. Just bear with me, inshallah. I'm going to consciously try and end, but this is a very important point. Some people, in their losing the focus of priority, they focus their energy in the condemnation of makruh more than they supposed to focus their energy in the condemnation of haram. You got a certain value in your house and you yelling about it. But hang on, that thing is not haram. And you're not talking about the other haram that's clearly out. This is again loss of focus. وَكَذَا الْإِخْتِلَافُ الْإِشْتِغَالُ بِمَخْتُلِفَ فِي حِلِّهِ وَحُرْمَتِهِ عَمَّا هُوَ مَقْتُوعٌ بِتَحْرِيمِهِ وَهُنَاكَ أُنَاسٌ مُولَعُونَ بِهَذِهِ الْخَلَافِيَّاتِ. Some people so preoccupied on subsidiary matters and differences when there is scope for diversity here that by default they have no energy to speak about things that are clear-cut haram. So we'll have a problem on a drug issue and then we will have a program about drugs and then someone will focus their energy on the fact that the drug problem was live on YouTube other than addressing the aspect of debauchery and drugs. Focus the energy there. And this is a very academic thing. It's not my words. Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, Scholars, please listen. I say please because I'm quoting the words of Anwar Shah, not to me. I'm a regular, ordinary mortal, my bro. I'm the most average guy. You can ask my family and my children. Anwar Shah Kashmiri said, the matters in which there's juristic differences between scholars. And Yahya bin Sa'id said, throughout our history, we had muftis issuing a verdict that certain things are permissible and other muftis issuing a verdict that those things are impermissible. Ma bariha ahlul fatwa yuftun. فيحل هذا ويحرم هذا فلا يرى المحل أن المحرم هلك لتحريمه. Some would say this is permissible, others throughout our history. Yahya bin Sa'id's quotation. Never was it in our history that the one who said it's haram considered the other one to be destroyed because he said it's halal. Nor did the one who said it's halal consider his counter opinion to be destroyed because he said it's haram. And then Ibn Abd al-Barr's qawl is mentioned there. لا يحق في هذه المسائل الاجتهادية أن يتيقن لصحة رأيه بل غاية أمره أن يكون رأيه صوابا مع احتمال خطئه وإصابة صاحبه. Never in our history did any of our jurists on matters on which there was established difference of opinion. Let's talk clean on the aspect of photography. Let's go direct into the jugular. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to photography is clear cut. It's nas. Ashaddu an-nasi adhaban yawm al-qiyamah al-musawwirun. The people with the most severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be the picture maker. That's the text. However, the definition of picture, when the Prophet ﷺ said it, was only one opinion, because at that time picture was only drawing. So there is no divine definition to the meaning of surah. When the Prophet ﷺ said it, and he said the most severe punishment is for the picture maker, at that time, we all can understand and agree, it was only drawing. There was no device, no technology. So because the hukam is mansus, but the ta'rif is not mansus, the definition is not explicit, that opens up the door for reflection, opinion, discussion and difference of opinion. In the Muqaddama of Kashfu al-Dunun, it is mentioned, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ نَتَائِجَ الْأَفْكَارِ لَا تَقِفُ عِنْدَ حَدٍ وَتَصَرُّفَاتِ الْأَنْظَارِ لَا تَنْتَهِي إِلَى غَايَةٍ بَلْ لِكُلِّ عَالِمٍ وَمُتَعَلِّمٍ مِنْهَا حَضٌ يُحْرِزُهُ فِي وَقْتِهِ الْمُقَدَّرْ لَهُ وليس لأحد أن يزاحمه فيه لأن العالم المعنوي واسع كالبحر الزاخر والفيض الإلهي ليس له انقطاع ولا آخر والعلوم منح إلهية ومواهب صمدانية فغير مستبعد أن يدخر لبعض المتأخرين ما لم يدخر لكثير المتقدمين فلا تغتر بقول القائل ما ترك الأول للآخر بل القول الصحيح كم ترك الأول للآخر. You know what that means? نتائج الأفكار, the application of your mind. تصرفات الأنظار, the rotation of your gaze. لا تقف إلى حد, never ends at a point. بل لكل عالم ومتعلم منها حظ يحرزه. My ustad had given me a fatwa to research on علم سرقة, on plagiarism. And that's when I was researching, I stumbled over this piece, and boy oh boy. بل لكل عالم ومعلم حظ يحرزه في وقته المقدر له. Every scholar in his time will have a research and a finding. وَلَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَن يُزَاحِمَهُ فِيهِ. And you cannot
refute this. You can have a counter view, but that's his opinion. لِأَنَّ الْعَالَمَ الْمَعْنَوِي وَاسِعٌ كَالْبَحْرِ الزَّاخِرِ. Because the understanding and the depth and the erudition of the nusus is like a broad ocean. وَالْفَيْضَ الْإِلَهِ. And divine inspiration, لَيْسَ لَهُ إِنْقِطَاعٌ وَلَا آخِرٌ. It can come on any person in any time. وَالْعُلُومُ مَنْحٌ إِلَهِيَّةٌ وَمَوَاهِبُ صَمَدَانِيَّةٌ. And knowledge is an inspiration from Allah. Of course, it must be guided by the text. I'm not talking anything nilly-willy that you just blurt. فَغَيْرُ مُسْتَبَعَدٍ أَن يُدَخَّرَ لِبَعْضِ الْمُتَأَخِّرِينَ مَا لَمْ يُدَخَّرْ لِكَثِيرِ الْمُتَقَدِّمِينَ. So it's not far-fetched, it's not remote, it's not impossible that Allah inspires people in the latter part of the ummah with certain understanding that the former people did not understand. This is his quotation. فَلَا تَغْتَرَّ بِقَوْلِ الْقَائِلِ مَا تَرَكَ الْأَوَّلُ لِلْآخِرِ. So don't fall prey of the view that, you know what, the early scholars wrote everything. There's no more scope for any other opinion. The truth be told, academically, the more correct view is kam taraka al-awwalu lil-akhir. Kam taraka al-awwalu lil-akhir. There's a lot left behind. Those that go into it, you will see it. So here we go to the last ibarat, and we call it today. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much, brothers. Jazakallah so much. Forgive me. You know, whatever Allah puts in my heart and mind. My three sons gave me a long lecture. Abu, don't say this, don't say this, say this, be careful. So, whatever. Yeah. Anwar Shah Kashmiri said, the differences that the jurists have, and the fatawa, this one said this opinion, that opinion, these differences will not be tabled on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah will not pass judgment to say, your fatwa was wrong, his fatwa was right. Abu Hanifa's opinion was correct, Imam Shafi'i's was otherwise. Allah, not my words. Let me quote the Arabic, then you can listen for yourself, right? And inshallah, you start learning Arabic, and even I learn. We all learn together. We all learn. إِنَّ الْمَسَائِلَ الْخِلَافِيَّةَ الْإِجْتِهَادِيَّةِ التي نخوض غمارها ونصرف القوى في الكشف عنها لا يكشف عن الخطأ والصواب فيها في المحشر أيضا فإن الله تعالى لما لم يحرم المجتهد المخطئ من أجر واحد في الدنيا بل ستر عنه فكيف يرجى منه جل وعلا أن يفضحه على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة بإعلان خطئه كيف وقد قال الله في داود وسليمان وداود وسليمان إذ يحكمان في الحرث إذ نفشت فيه غنم القوم وكنا لحكمهم شاهدين ففهمناها سليمان فخص الله سليمان بالفهم وإصابة الرأي وأثنى عليهما بالعلم والحكم. He said these juristic rulings in which we dive deep, التي نخوض غمارها, we wade the deep waters. وَالنَّصْرِفُ الْقُوَى فِي الْكَشْفِ عَنْهَا. And we apply, and that's academic, and it's robust, and it's lovely. Nothing gives me a thrill to sit in a class and engage and, you know, research and see. It's so wholesome, awesome. But لَا يُكْشَفُ عَنِ الْخَطَأِ وَالصَّوَابِ فِيهَا فِي الْمَحْشَرِ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will not unveil and reveal between the two opinions whose opinion was more correct. Why? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمَّا لَمْ يَحْرِمْ الْمُجْتَهِدَ الْمُخْطِئَ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَاحِدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا بَلْ سَتَرَ عَنْهُ. Because in this world, Allah said, when an expert on the Sharia applies his mind, if he's correct in his conclusion, he'll get two rewards. And if he's not correct, but he applied with the necessary understanding, he'll get one reward. So when Allah conferred one reward upon the expert of the text,
for applying his mind in this world, we cannot then expect that that same Allah will expose and implicate and punish this person on the day of Qiyamah. And how can we possibly assume so when Allah told us in Suratul Anbiya, chapter 21, juz 17, father and son, Dawood and Sulaiman, presided over a matter. Both their rulings were correct. However, Allah inspired Sulaiman alayhi salam with a deeper understanding. Principally, both were correct. I don't want to go into that detail, and I'm sure you won't want me. It will take up too much time, but you can read it. Allah inspired Sulaiman alayhi salam with the deeper understanding. When Allah narrated this in the Quran, Allah said, وَدَاوُدَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِ فِي الْحَرْثِ. And remember when Dawood and Sulaiman were passing judgment regarding the flock of a shepherd that pastured into a farm. وَكُنَّا لِحُكْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ. And we were overseeing the verdict. We were monitoring the ruling. فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ. We inspired the son Sulaiman alayhi salam with the deeper understanding. So Allah categorically, explicitly conferred the correctness or the more accurate ruling on Sulaiman alayhi salam. But Allah said they both were profound. They both had knowledge. They both had wisdom. They both were amazing. فَخَصَّ اللَّهُ سُلَيْمَانَ بِالْفَهْمِ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِمَا بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْحُكْمِ. May Allah bless you, my brother. Be a means of uniting the ummah to get them onto the wajib and to come out of haram. That which is subsidiary, these are differences that occurred and will continue to occur. This is not a cause that is going to take a person out of it. In Ma'riful Quran, in chapter 23, in Surah Mu'minun, under فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا, Allah said that the nations of the Anbiya fragmented. Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah alayhi says, it will be a gross misinterpretation if anyone views the diversity of juristic ruling to be part of a different sect. It doesn't fall under the condemned division. Go see it, man. Sorry, man. Sorry. I'm sorry. Allah bless you all. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك, أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما, وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما, ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا, وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا, وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا, واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير, واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم بارك لنا في شعبان, وبلغنا رمضان. اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا من النيران. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة, فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله.